It's on the rise in the United States, so we're discussing skin cancer. Our guest, Dr. Lakimerli Coates, a dermatologist with Eisenhower Health. This is Living Well with Eisenhower Health, healthcare as it should be. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Dr. Coates. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you aboard. So first, why is it that skin cancer is increasing, and just how common is it nowadays?
Well, skin cancer is on the rise for a few key reasons. First, people are spending more time outdoors without proper sun protection, and the UV radiation adds up over time. Second, tanning beds, which are still used by many people, expose the skin to intense UV rays that damage the cells. Third reason is that people are living longer, so there's simply more time for cumulative sun damage to develop into cancer. And let's not even get into ozone depletion, meaning that we have less protection from UV rays in our atmosphere. So those are just a few.
And so as a dermatologist, what in a nutshell is your role in preventing or treating skin cancer? What can people expect from you?
So as dermatologists, skin is our main focus. We take care of all diseases of the hair, skin, and nails, and we focus on prevention as well as therapeutic relief. I help patients understand potential risk factors, develop sun safety routines that ideally will work for their lifestyle. I perform regular skin exams to catch any suspicious lesions early, because early is really key in terms of detecting most skin cancers, and that's when they're most treatable. If someone is diagnosed, if we've already passed the point of prevention and they are diagnosed with a skin cancer, then I guide them through treatment options, whether it's surgical, outpatient procedures are primarily what we do in dermatology. So if their cancer, for example, is on their head or neck, then they are most likely a great candidate for Mohs micrographic surgery, a very specialized way to approach skin cancer. If it's on their body, I tend to be able to just do the excisions in office same day. In general, they don't have to go under any general anesthesia or anything of that nature. There are also many topical therapies available at this time. But more than anything, I empower people with knowledge, because awareness is the first step towards prevention.
Absolutely. And so you covered a lot of ground there. We love it. I'm going to ask you about a few things you mentioned there in a little more detail in a moment. But first, what are the basic signs of skin cancer for people that are unaware? I know from personal experience, oftentimes it's kind of like a zit that just refuses to go away. It might look like it's healing, but then it never really does, right?
Yeah. And so, well, there are a few things that are important to watch out for. We will first talk about more of the basal cell and squamous cell, and you're exactly right. It's basically a lesion, a bump, a scaly patch, something that just is not healing, is the bottom line. It may bleed. It may be sensitive. Sometimes it's a little tender or irritated, but often there are no physical symptoms to it. It just is not going away. It's not healing. And it, like I said, it may be bleeding. The other thing we have to watch out for are moles, or those brown or black spots. We're watching out to see if there is any change. So for moles and melanoma, we have what we call the A, B, C, D, E, and F. And so A is for asymmetry, meaning that if you cut that mole in half, does one half look like the other half? B is the border. Is the border sharp and clear, or does it look kind of hazy around the edges? Is it kind of hard to tell where the mole begins, where it ends? C is for color. Is it multiple colors? Is it maybe, does it have a black dot in the center, or has it in some way grown D diameter beyond the size of a pencil eraser, which is about 6 millimeters. E is for evolution, meaning it's changing. Like, you're like, wait, you know, I had a perfectly round mole. Now it looks like Mickey Mouse. And then F is for family history.
And family history, meaning that that would put you at higher risk, I presume. And that leads me into my next question, Doc, which is, who is considered in general, higher risk for skin cancer, and how often should they be screened by a dermatologist as opposed to people not in that case?
In general, it's not a bad idea for everyone to have a skin exam, but if you have fair skin, lighter hair, lighter eyes, if you have a history of sunburns, if you have, again, that family history, and by family history, I mean mother, father, brother, sister, son or daughter, a first degree relative with melanoma, your risk is greater. And if you've ever used a tanning bed, or if you spend a lot of times outdoors, you want to get your skin exam done at least once a year.
Gotcha. So what does a skin exam consist of? It pretty much is self-explanatory, right? An expert like yourself just looks somebody over and sees if anything doesn't look right, correct?
Exactly.
And regarding prevention, what are some of the best ways to avoid skin cancer in the first place?
So we've kind of danced around a little bit, but prevention begins with safe sun habits. Your SPF, or your sun protective factor, in the form of a lotion, a spray, a gel, or a powder, it becomes a barrier and allows you more safe time in the sun. So I recommend an SPF of 30 or higher that is mineral-based. And so there are different types of chemical versus mineral sunscreens. I lean more into the mineral-based sunscreens, which would either be zinc oxide or titanium dioxide.
Anything other than that when choosing a sunscreen? Because I'm sure oftentimes people walk into the store, there's so many choices nowadays, and sometimes you scratch your head wondering, what do I really need here?
The zinc is where you want to focus. The zinc, SPF 30 or higher with the zinc oxide.
Gotcha. And what about how and when to apply it? Is there a certain amount of time prior to going into the sun that you should be putting it on?
I recommend every morning, just after you brush your teeth, wash your face, apply your SPF to your face in particular every day, just like normal, and then the rest of your body as needed, meaning if you're wearing a tank top or shorts, apply it as you need to, but first thing in the morning. And then if you are, for example, swimming and you're in and out of the water, you're going to need to reapply once you towel off. If you're sweating a lot, reapply. If you're out hiking, reapply in about 2 or 4 hours. And so the main game also becomes reapplication with an active lifestyle. But the other thing is you can also utilize hats, sun protective clothing. We have so many options nowadays in terms of lightweight protective layers that you can carry your shade with you.
And so speaking of sunproof clothing, how about wearing a hat? And what I wonder here, doctor, is I've never done it in the sun. I've sometimes thought about it. And one thing I wonder about that is there a trick to finding the right hat where you're protected from the sun first and foremost, where you can still get a little color nevertheless? How do you pull that off?
I'm like, you don't.
Okay. Either you're going to get some sun or you're going to protect yourself from skin cancer. That's the bottom line.
Pretty much. But we'll touch on a few things with that. So your hat needs to have at least a 4-inch brim. And so think wide, like cowboy hat, Indiana Jones, Gilligan, like a wide brim all the way around, protecting those ears. Baseball caps are simply not enough. But the thing is, the sun is reflective. So the sun is going to reflect off of pavement, off of sand, off of water. So a hat is not enough. You still need to put on your SPF 30 or higher with the zinc because of that reflective concern as well. But the thing that you want to consider if you want to have some color, sunless tanning is reasonable. Tanning beds are really not a safe solution, but you can use your sunless tanners.
So what about times of day when it's most important to avoid the sun?
The sun is at its peak between 10 and 4. So if you can get most of your outdoor activities completed before 10 a.m., that would be amazing. And then the same later in the day.
You mentioned tanning machines. There are tanning beds. There are stand-up machines. There are spray tans as well. You say mm-hmm. that they're potentially dangerous. Why is that?
Well, tanning beds are emitting concentrated UV radiation. So the tanning bed is just an intense form of the sun even closer to your skin. And so it's putting your risk of skin cancer up exponentially, including melanomas. And so spray tans are a safe alternative, but just don't expose yourself unnecessarily to that UV.
And so regarding the tanning machines, as you well know, many people feel it's a good way to, quote unquote, get a base of a tan before going out in the real sun, but you say not recommended.
No, what you're doing is just damaging your skin before you damage it more.
Just a couple of other things. One more on that note, which is you mentioned that those that are exposed to tanning machines can get skin cancer. And it's important to note, isn't it, that skin cancer can occur years, sometimes decades after whatever the initial cause was, right? So if you go out as a little kid, for instance, into the sun without proper protection, you might not get skin cancer until you're a senior citizen, right?
Yeah. It's about the cumulative or the total exposure for many people. Some people genetically being predisposed, or maybe they were lifeguards, you know, and they just got a lot of sun exposure early. My personal youngest patient that I diagnosed with melanoma was 26, and he had been a lifeguard. And so it's about the total exposure as well as your genetics.
Now, you mentioned Mohs surgery, which is the most common treatment for skin cancer nowadays. What is that, and where does it get its name?
It's actually Dr. Moe who invented the technique. And so Dr. Moe actually is a medical student at the University of Wisconsin. He realized that he could use a chemical compound that targeted cancer cells, apply it to the skin while the patient is awake, like not requiring them to go under general anesthesia, and just directly focus in on the skin cancer cells. So that was the start of it many years ago. And from the chemo, so to speak, technique, he eventually evolved that into a surgical technique where the same process takes place, meaning that we target the skin cancer with very small excision. And then we take a base around that, a very narrow margin around it, and then we make slides, frozen section slides, immediately to look under the microscope to see if all of the cancer cells are gone. And then if they are not gone, then because we've mapped out our tissue, we're able to go back and trace or track exactly where the cancer cells are still present and remove that layer by layer. And so it's a very specialized focus technique that we try to use in areas that require tissue sparing. So for example, if there's a cancer on the face, the ears, on the finger, and in the genital area, on the toes, that's where we utilize Mohs most effectively.
And so you're checking layer by layer, as you said, and then you continue taking off one layer at a time, am I right? As long as cancer is still visible, and then once it's not, you stop. And this all takes place in the same procedure. So the patient is waiting as you're checking in between layers being removed, yes?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yes. So they're bandaged, and then they go to the waiting room in between layers to allow time for the slide to be processed and made and then evaluated.
Mm-hmm. And so in summary here, Dr. Coates, what would you say are the odds, generally speaking, of most people avoiding skin cancer if they're diligent and they're aware and they're educated and, most important, if they listen to your good advice?
I think by doing all the right things, you're definitely hedging your bets towards having healthy skin and a nice long life. But get your skin exam.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with skin cancer and skin cancer prevention, most importantly. Dr. Coates, a pleasure. Keep up all your great work. I hope we can do it again down the road. And thanks so much again.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Same here. And for more information, please do visit EisenhowerHealth.org/services/dermatology. Now, if you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. I'm Joey Waller. And thanks again for being a part of Living Well with Eisenhower Health, healthcare as it should be.